In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Kurt Ryle, lead singer and drummer in the New Jersey, New York City area band The Gripweeds. Their version of the Beach Boys song You're So Good to Me is a recent coolest song in the world this week, and is part of a new compilation album titled Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson. We'll hear some of the track now, followed by my chat with Kurt on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
You're kind of small and you're such a doll. I'm glad you're mine. You're so good to me. How come you are? You take my hand and you understand when I get in a bag.
I'm the Mighty Manfred, and Kurt Ryle from the Gripweeds is my guest today for our Coolest Conversations. He's a multi-instrumentalist, best known as the drummer and singer in the band, and he, along with his bandmates, wife Kristen and brother Rick, run House of Vibe Studio in Highland Park, New Jersey. How are you, Kurt?
Doing great, Manfred. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there okay. Thinking about your wife and brother, your family and friends. Have you guys all managed to keep healthy over the course of this pandemic?
Yeah, reasonably. For a while, it was great. It was all fitness, and there was more time to do some things you couldn't do before. And then both Kristen and I actually got a mild case of COVID-19 right after I got vaccinated. I got it, and luckily they say that because I might have had the first shot, it may have been more mild. Either way, neither of us were really in bad shape at all. We handled it okay.
Hey, man, your last album, 2018's Trip Around the World, that came out on Gem Records, and you and others from the Gem Records stable of stars, including the Anderson Council and Nick Puente, Midnight Callers, The Weaklings, have all contributed tracks to this Brian Wilson tribute album out now called Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson. On there, you guys do a version of You're So Good to Me, which was a recent coolest song of the world here in the Underground Garage back in June. And you also contribute a version of Heroes and Villains, Roll Plymouth Rock. But before this Brian Wilson tribute album, Gem did a thing on John Lennon. Gem Records celebrates John Lennon. And on that, you cover You Can't Do That and Strawberry Fields Forever. So do you know how this first tribute album, the John Lennon one, came together and why Gem Records decided to focus on these two particular songwriters?
Well, it was Marty Scott's idea. He's the head honcho of Gem Records. And he came to me, actually, with the idea back in 2020, last year. It feels like so long ago. Yeah, he came up with the idea to do John Lennon, and we just talked about how to approach it from a standpoint of, making the production. He basically came to me with the idea and mm-hmm. said, I need your help to pull it off. So, we kicked around a lot of ideas. And the one idea that stood out was not to tell the band what to play. Let the band pick the song that they feel, they resonate with or they could do something with. So when it came to the Gripweeds, we just felt we were looking for songs that we could step into and do something that hadn't been done. We had actually been working with Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. We were backing him up, doing a lot of shows with him. We did a show. It was a Beatles show down in I think it was Indianapolis or Kentucky, and it was Abbey Road on the River. And we had to do some Beatles songs. So I chose, because I was the musical director for Mark, I chose You Can't Do That. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that could be really kind of like a Raiders type song, you know? And the band did it. We changed the key for Mark and really kind of Raiders it up in a way, but kept our own vibe in there. Mm-hmm. And then when this compilation came up and we were looking for songs, we thought, well, we got to do that. Maybe we'll see if we can get Mark. But because of the COVID pandemic, Mark wasn't available. So we just did it on our own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just a chance to go in a different, slightly different way with the songs. And we did that with Strawberry Fields Forever, too.
Is it Marty Scott? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Marty Scott. So why was he like, oh, is this like a series of songwriters and John Lennon was just the first, Brian Wilson the second, or are these the only two you think that he wants to focus on?
Well, nobody knows Marty's mind. But I do believe it's going to be a continuing thing. He actually does have another artist in mind, which I don't want to say yet, but he's been talking about it. But the Lennon thing did so well that he thought, let's continue this. And, you know, from my perspective as a band on the label, what a great thing to have, you know, the label head really pushing stuff and calling you and saying, come on, what do you have? What do you want to do? I got this thing, you know, to get things happening and promote the bands and do some good art and music. That's a great thing with a label. And I don't think it happens that much nowadays, you know? So we really count our blessings for, you know, that Jem is so, Marty especially, is so hands-on, you know, to really push stuff.
So we talked about the John Lennon tribute one. Let's focus some on the more recent one, the Brian Wilson one. I mentioned our former coolest song of the week, You Were So Good to Me. So was this something you guys were already playing as well, or your two selections for the Brian Wilson compilation? Did you just kind of think about his discography, his songs, and pick those two? Why'd you go with You're So Good to Me?
Well, we went with those really because You're So Good to Me was just a song we felt that we could easily step into with the sort of the Gripweeds vibe, whatever that is, our sound. Like some of the Beach Boys songs, you almost can't cover them because they're so vocal centric.
Yeah.
You got to have it's so much about the summer and you know, some things just don't work in the world of Gripweeds. You know, I just don't see us doing, you know, Surf and Safari. But yet, You're So Good to Me, a love song, I guess a little heavier. And we kind of thought, there's something in there where we can beef it up a little bit and kind of, really what I was looking to do was open up that chorus. When you get to the chorus, the Beach Boys continue this like stomping down, 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 down. And we just thought, no, we're going to open it up and just really lay into it and get the ride cymbal. You know, so that was my attraction to that song.
I was wondering, are you an Equals fan at all?
The Equals?
Yeah, from the 60s.
I know of them, but I can't say that I know them very well. I may have heard some things.
Oh, the only reason I bring it up is that guitar lick and You're So Good to Me. It seems like that's something Eddie Grant, you know, borrowed and used in an Equal song. And I can't think of off the top of my head which one it is, but it certainly is very reminiscent of that. Just an example of how everything touches everything else, you know, when these.
Oh, it so does, you know, and the great thing about guitar riffs is, it depends on whose perspective it is. You can't copyright a guitar riff. You know, you can put Day Tripper into a song if you want, you know, but not that you're going to do it necessarily, but that's a kind of a good thing. Music can be shared, you know, the Chuck Berry chord structure can be shared. And Brian Wilson took that from, you know, or did his own thing. And it was based on Chuck Berry. And I think that's really the, you know, the essence of rock and roll is the shared continuing nature of it.
Well, you know, what's funny to me about that is like, you know, if you put a little Louie in a song, nobody blinks an eye. But if you copy Hendrix riff, everyone rolls their eyes like, oh man, they're ripping off Hendrix.
There's things that you just can't do. That's
true. If it's too iconic, then and everyone's like, oh, you know, grumble, grumble. Well, let's talk some about heroes and villains and this role Plymouth Rock, which is, you mentioned opening a can of worms, and I guess the... Do you like worms? Can you go into that and how the, you know, do you like worms? And it becomes role Plymouth Rock, and then that's appropriated for heroes and villains. Well, what's the story here, and why'd you guys decide to go after this one?
Well, the story really started with the John Lennon Gem Records Celebrates album, because we had done Strawberry Fields. And even before that, we did a version of The Inner Light. It's on our album, How I Won the War. And we took this song, the George Harrison song, The Inner Light, and we took it from a raga with, you know, it was sitar, Indian musicians, and George on vocals. And we took that into the band context, and we blew it up into this sort of what I would call an epic. So when we approached Strawberry Fields, we kind of were looking for a song to do the same thing, to make it kind of blow it up and do something that hadn't been heard with it as much as that would be possible. So when it came to Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson, we were looking for a song that would kind of do the same trick, because we have access to the studio. We can spend untold hours working on these songs because, you know, we're not on the clock. So we can really dig into it. So that's why I thought Good Vibrations, no way. We can't go there. It's a perfect track. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But Heroes and Villains was such a idiosyncratic recording for the Beach Boys that I felt there was something in there that could be presented in a rock or a garage context, and definitely a Gripweeds context. And there was a way in to that song for us to reinvent it and reinterpret it. And then we started listening, like, we've always been big fans of Smile. That album was the forbidden fruit of, you know, our youth. You know, where you got to get Smile, you got to hear that album, but you can't hear it because it's not out, you know, and it was always that. So it was bootlegs, and, you know, you really had to be in the know to hear that record. So there was the mystique that built up around it. And when we started to approach Heroes and Villains, and we were listening to Smile, we're like, you know, Roll Plymouth Rock and Do You Like Worms, they're kind of a piece. They really kind of are extensions on the Heroes and Villains themes. And they're definitely echoed in there. They may be in a different key, but they're still part of that idea. So we thought, well, you know, Smile was a modular recording. It was, let's do the chorus, then we're going to stop. We'll go to another studio. We'll do the bridge. We'll throw in another section edited that we recorded back at United Western in LA. You know, that's what the Beach Boys did. That's how they approached it. So we thought, let's just take Smile and take what we like and edit it together the way we want and arrange it. We recorded it all in House of Vibes, but we did play it at Kristen and I, actually. We tracked the whole basic track together in one shot. 5.5 minutes or whatever it is.
Yes.
And that was really kind of fun, you know, to do that. And then we added everything else over that. We overdubbed the other stuff onto it. So it was real fun to do. It was really fun to do.
And give me an idea, when were you guys doing that? When was it recorded?
That was about March, spring of this year, I would say. We probably finished it up, you know, around May, I guess. Okay. You know, it took us a little bit of time. It's funny when you have a recording that's so open-ended and you can sort of do all kinds of different things with it. It's not, let's go into the studio and bang this out. You know, it's just not that kind of song. In fact, someone who I played it for, he goes, you guys didn't record this in an afternoon. And I was like, no, we did not. So, you know, we took our time with it, and we were doing other tracks because this whole time, I would say the pandemic has been bookended by the Gem Records Celebrates John Lennon and the Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson. And in between, we were making an album. So we've just been doing songs all over the place the whole time, which has been pretty great.
So what I'm getting out of this is pandemic time is good if you happen to own your own recording studio.
Yeah. If you have a guitar, if you can do something and record it, pandemic is the time to do it, you know, because the world stopped, and you know, that's when musicians kind of go, all right, well, we got a woodshed now.
So Kurt, you guys are on this, the Brian Wilson tribute, Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson. Your involvement with, you've actually played with Brian before too. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I actually got a chance to work with him, and I met him a few times over the years, but he was doing a promo for a video, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times, which was, it was a Don Was production. So I was on the short list somehow of musicians that were needed to do this promo at Lincoln Center in Manhattan. And I'm like, at the time I was out of work too, so I was unemployed. I'm like, yes, I'm there. Hey, what do you say? No, I'm not going to go work with Brian. So we go to the Carlisle Hotel, swish kind of place up there in Manhattan, Midtown, yeah. Fight the traffic to get there. And, you know, we get to the suite. The door opens up. It's Brian's wife. And she motions us to come in. And in there, it's like a suite. And he's got a baby grand piano with Paul Schaefer behind it. Don Was is playing this like electric stand-up bass. Danny Hutton's in the room. Billy West from Ren and Stimpy. Andy Paley. And we're just sitting there, Kristen and I and Richard X. Heyman, who's a good friend of ours. We're looking at each other on the couch going, yeah, so what are we doing here? And then we go and do the rehearsal and stuff. And we're working out the vocal parts with Brian at his feet, singing California Girls, Do It Again. And it just doesn't get much better than that to be, you know, hey, how was that, Brian? You know, at his feet. That was the image I got. And the day just went from there, and we played with him, and he was fantastic. He was the typical Brian that we know for most of the day, kind of a little bit aloof.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the show, he came to life. We came off stage at the end of the show. He's like, hey, fellas, that was great. That was a blowout. Thanks so much. He shook our hands and everything. He was so excited. I was like, that's like, he's still there. You know, yeah. Some people don't realize Brian is still there. You know,
can you remind me what year was that?
I think it was 1995.
And Richard Heyman, he is the drummer in the Doughboys. Doesn't he play drums in the Doughboys?
Yeah, Richard X. Heyman, he's a solo artist too. And he's the drummer of the Doughboys at a underground garage favorite.
That's right. Along with the Gripweeds,
who I've produced many times here at House of Vibes. So there's, you know what? It's all a big kind of weird family.
Well, we mentioned, or I mentioned, some of your label mates on Gem, and I know that both the Anderson Council, Midnight Callers, maybe others, but at least those two have made use of your talents as a producer and engineer at the House of Vibes. It's sort of a family business, right? Both Chris and your wife, your brother Rick are involved. How long has the studio been active, and how does that play into the band?
Well, when the Gripweed started, we've been going since Rick and I were in college at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, and we started the band way back in the dawn of, well, no, it was the end of the 20th century. At around that time, we were making demos, you know, kind of in our bedroom type thing. We would go to the studio to record, and we just were not happy with what we were getting from the studios. I think it was a combination of the engineers not being sympathetic to our 60s garage, you know, approach, and us just not being that good. I think there was a combination of two things happening, you know, but there was something we liked about the demos. So we started to just put a little bit more focus on the demo and try to bring up the production values as best we could. Back in that time, there was just tape, you know, so it was semi-pro equipment and everything. And we got a bass player in. The Gripweeds has had up until Dave DeSantis, who joined almost 10 years ago now, we had a stable of bass players that would, they'd come in, they'd stay for 5 years, and then they go. And we had this one guy who came in, Mick Hargrave. He's on our first album, House of Vibes. And he brought to the band the idea of not waiting for the record label to put you out. Just put it out. Put out a single. You know, quick and dirty, the best you can. And that's what he brought to the band. And that was the impetus for getting the studio up to snuff to put a record out. And it just grew from there, because once we put the record out, it was called See You Through. That's our first EP.
Okay.
And there was like three songs on it and 45 kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we passed it around, and, you know, it's circulated and got reviewed and everything. And then bands that we were playing with started going, you know, we're looking for a studio. Do you think you could produce us? We're like, yeah. I mean, I don't know, Manfred, I don't know about you, but in this business, you don't say no, you just say yes.
So, yeah, you say yes, and then you figure out how to do it later.
So I figured it out. We figured it out later. We brought the bands in one after the other. And then what wound up happening, the great thing about this thing called House of Vibes is that the bands come in. When a band comes in, all of a sudden, I feel like just another member of the band. So I'm in their creative process, and we're doping it out and trying to get a good record, good performance, whatever, out of it. So you wind up being inspired by their vibe, you know?
Right.
And then when the Gripweeds record, we have our own vibe. We do our own things. But I may come in and say, you know, I worked with this band, the Anderson Council, and they did this really cool thing with the wah-wah pedal. We should try that. You know, so there's a shared thing that goes on at House of Vibes of knowledge. And I think everybody benefits from that. And I happen to be at the center of it, you know, just sort of corralling these ideas and moving them around. And I think that's the difference between a band producing records in their bedroom and a studio where you get a shared knowledge of techniques and ideas. And that's what happens at House of Vibes.
Well, about the House of Vibes, are there any upcoming recording projects? Not, I'm going to ask you in a moment about the Gripweed specifically, but is there anybody you're working with right now that you're especially excited about?
Well, I shouldn't say, should I? I should leave it to them. But there's several things, you know, the COVID definitely put a halt on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it made recording very difficult, and you had to wear a mask. And I mean, you still should. Things are a little bit more open, and I'm starting to get a lot more calls in here. One of them is the Anderson Council. They're working on a new project, which is going to be kind of interesting. So that's just one of many now. I'm starting to juggle again. That's what it is.
What is next for the Gripweeds? I mean, there is, you mentioned about wood shedding. So are you done with wood shedding? It's time to build.
That's right. Yeah. We basically what we did is we dug deep this past year, and we came up with this album called Dig, D-I-G, Dig the Gripweeds.
I'm digging it.
So, you know, it was like, what a powerful word, three letters, a very powerful word that has a lot of meaning, you know? And so we thought that's the perfect title for this album, because we were kind of, you know, dug in the studio. So the album's called Dig, and it's going to come out in November. And we're going to talk, hopefully you and I can talk more about that when it comes out.
Oh, absolutely. This will be a Gem Records release then.
This will be on Gem, yeah.
Right now, what I'd like us to do is go out on your version of Heroes and Villains Roll.
I'm so glad you're going to play that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was going back and forth and listening to y'all's version and you know, listening to the Beach Boys version there. And it's a masterful job. I think that's really cool, especially, you know, appropriating the Roll Plymouth Roll into it. Really, really cool. Hey, let me thank you again for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Well, thank you, Manfred. I really appreciate the time. And it's good to talk to you again.
Good to speak with you as well. Let's hear your version now of Heroes and Villains Roll Plymouth Rock. And it's the Gripweeds off Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I've been in this town so long, been back in the city. I've been taken for lost and gone, and I know for a long, long time that I loved years ago with an innocent girl from the Spanish and Indian home of the heroes and villains. That eventually brought her down. But she's still dancing in the night, unafraid of what to do and do. We're the town full of heroes and villains.
That was Heroes and Villains Roll Plymouth Rock, as performed by the Gripweeds here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. It's one of two songs the band contributes to Gem Records Celebrates Brian Wilson. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to lead singer and drummer Kurt Ryle for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our interview. And join me next time around when we'll check in with the Norwegian all-female band the Cocktail Slivers. My guest is our lead guitarist, Rocket Queen. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.